Amen. Most definitely be wonderful there. As we come together on this evening to continue to give God thanks for the many blessings that He has given us. Amen. We'll be looking at the topic of perseverance on this evening. Perseverance. Never giving up. Don't quit. That's the simple definition. Don't give up. Never quit. Perseverance deals with the continued effort to do or achieve something despite of the difficulties, failures, or opposition. We have to remain steadfast, immovable, as 1 Corinthians 15:58 states, always abounding. There are so many times where we have individuals that just give up, just throw in the towel, don't want to go any further. It's too hard. I can't do it. Well, many times the reason that people say that it's too hard and they can't do it is because they have put forth no effort. That is not what God desires of us. He wants us to put forth effort. He wants us to move forward. No matter what comes our way, He wants us to keep pressing on toward the mark. There is a reward waiting upon those that live faithful until the very end. Despite of whatever goes on in their lives, that they may continue on. We'll look at about two or three different people in Scripture that persevered regardless of their situation. Then we're also going to look at briefly a couple of people that just gave up for one reason or another. And I want you to consider these individuals as we look at them, and I want you to think about the life in which you're living. Think about the times in which you have given up on something or somebody. We need to remember that someone has given us a chance. Someone took a liking to us. Some interest in us and encouraged us to keep moving forward despite of whatever has gone on in our lives. Whether it was something that went on your jobs, in your families, in your marriage, encourage you to continue on. Maybe it's the changing of your belief. Somebody encouraged you to continue on. As long as we're doing what God will require for us to do, remember He is always with us. We're going to find, as we look at these scriptures on this evening, that there's a reason why we continue to persevere. There's a reason why we keep holding on. There is hope. And the hope is for those individuals that are grounded and rooted in God's Word. In Matthew chapter 24 and the verses 13, the scriptures reads here, a reference to them, it says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." We know that as we think about the book of Matthew, chapter 24, that some of the things that we read there, they are not making reference to us. But we can still remember that as these scriptures are written, they're written in order for us to learn from them. Nothing has changed here. As we think about enduring to the end, whether it was the end of the age in which they were living then or it's the age that we're living now, nothing has changed. As long as we endure to the end, we will be saved. We find in the book of Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, as the revelator is giving here this message, this word, it is written down for us to understand that there were some that will be persecuted. We are living here in the United States of America where, what I've said from time to time, we don't have to worry about persecution as they worried about it in the first century, or that they worry about over in another land. Yeah, there are times where individuals want to destroy us. They want to drag us down the road. They may even want to take us out and hang us or cut our heads off for obeying the gospel and preaching the word of God. But generally, we don't have to worry about that. We was reading just the other day that the man that got drugged in Jasper, Texas, years ago, they're just now getting ready to prosecute him, not prosecute him, but actually execute him in April of 2019. It's been a long time. But I want us to understand that as we stand up for the truth, no matter who we are, no matter where we are, that we have to endure to the end. Revelation 2:10 says, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." Has something to look forward to. Be faithful until death. Until the death. If it causes you to be killed, be faithful until death. And I will give you a crown of life. We find in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and the verses 9. We just read that as a scripture reference. We read verse 9 and 10. We just want to concentrate right here on verse 9. Because there are those times where someone has done something to us that we grow weary and we want to give up because these people seem to be unthankful. I want you to realize that's the type of place we live in today. A place where people are unthankful, ungrateful, just sorry, all get out, just sorry, don't appreciate what you're doing. But here Paul is writing to the church of Galatians. He said, "And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not faint, if we do not give up, if we persevere until the end." Let's hold on. No matter how these people treat us, let's continue to do what we're supposed to do because it's pleasing in the sight of God. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse is 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the verse is 58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." See, we know when it's in the Lord. We know that what we're doing is worth it all. Making sure again that we're steady moving forward. See, a lot of times we want to stop. And when we stop, we began to think and we began to doubt ourselves. We began to doubt the word of God and doubt what God can do for us. And before long, we're turning to the side. We're turning back, going into a different direction. That's not persevering. That's not moving forward. That's not doing what God wants us to do. So let's continue to work for the Lord and knowing again that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Jesus didn't quit. Some say, well, yeah, he quit. No, Jesus did not quit. What Jesus did when he was on the cross, Jesus said these three words. He said more, but these three words is words we need to understand and words we need to relate to, because this tells that the Old Testament is closed. It is finished. The work that he was sent to do upon this earth, he said, it is finished. Now, those words are going to be repeated again, but if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, if you have not persevered, you don't want to hear them. But here he says, it is finished, but Jesus did not quit. In Isaiah chapter 53 and the verse is 3. Isaiah 53 and the verse is 3. It talks about what was going to happen to our Lord and our Savior on this great day in which he was crucified. The Bible says he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He was despised and rejected. By whom? We're going to find out by whom in just a moment. But I want you to understand, although he was despised and rejected, he did not quit. A lot of times we cannot take rejection. I've talked about how many times we do not want people to tell us that they don't know us. But to reject us, to not give us what is due to us. A lot of times we say, well, I'm going to go this way. I'm going to do this. I'm just going to give up. I'm not going to do anything else. But Jesus went to the cross in order that you and I may be able to live. He was rejected by his own countrymen there in John chapter 1 and the verse is 11. His own countrymen, he was rejected. Now, how would you feel? Many of us have moved away from where we were raised. We've come to a different place. And then when we go back home, what if the people there rejected you? How would you feel? Or maybe you were born here in the city of Louisville and you go somewhere and you come back home and people reject you because now you're members of the Lord's church and they say, you've changed. We don't want anything to do with you. Here the Bible says in John chapter 1 and the verse is 11. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. His own people now. His kind, the place in which he was raised, it says his own countrymen, they rejected him. They did not receive him. You say, that's not right. No way that could be right. We need to understand that that did not stop Jesus. He continued on. But we even find not only his countrymen, but his own townspeople. In Mark chapter 6 and the verse is 3, as Mark accounts. The gospel of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. His own townspeople rejected him. Mark 6 in the verses 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. They took offense at him. He was rejected by his own townspeople. But he didn't give up. He did not give up. Even his own family. Now we can really relate to this one, can we not? That when our family, when they reject us, when they say that you think that you're better than we are just because you're members of the Lord's church, that should not be the case. What we should be doing is we should be trying to share the word with them and get them to understand the truth and the reality of God's word. That one day God is going to send his son back. And to receive them to himself, a perfect church, a perfect people. And if you are not a part of that number, you're not going to be able to enter in the kingdom of God. So we find here in John chapter 7, verse 3. John chapter 7 and the verses 3. So his brothers said to him, leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples may see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For not even his brothers believed in him. Not even his brothers. Isn't that something? When your own family don't believe in you. But that's okay. Jesus didn't quit. His disciples, the ones that followed him, the ones that had seen him perform miracles, his own disciples, men that gave up the lifestyle in which they lived and followed after him, there were some of them. Got to the point in this journey where they gave up. In John chapter 6, in the verse is 66. And many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. You know what some would say reference to these scripture references right here? Someone would say, well, those people did not really know who Jesus was. Those people were really not his disciples according to John chapter 6, verse 66. What is a disciple? We've covered this before. A disciple of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a pupil, is a follower of Christ. Many of his disciples turned back to follow him no more. They gave up. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus kept on. Some of his closest followers in the book of Matthew chapter 26. His closest followers now. We have to understand when we start talking about his closest followers, there had to be somebody that was closer to him than this man over on this side. Closer to him. You know, you got some people that follow you and they're following you at a distance, but yet they're following you. Then you got this other person that is real close to you and hearing everything that you're saying. But look what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 26 and the verse is 56. But all this has taken place that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples left him and fled. His closest followers left him and fled. Now, we need to understand that when we look at this, we can go back up in the book of Matthew chapter 26 and we can see where Peter now, the spokesman, the one that always stood up, the one that was ready to defend him, denied him. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus kept on. He was beaten and crucified, but he still kept going. What would make a man give up? If these things right here did not make Jesus give up, what should we, or why should we give up? We need to understand that yes, we're not Jesus. But the scriptures are going to teach us that there were some men that were born of a man and a woman, that when they were persecuted against, when opposition came their way, they persevered and continued to do what was right. But yet, here we are today, that if somebody just say one bad word to us, say something that we don't like, step on our toes, look at you and say, I don't like the way you dress, look at you and say, I don't like the way you comb your hair, we are ready to give up. We are ready to give up. I remember when there was a lady, a sister in the Lord's church, when she was not wished a happy birthday, she gave up. She gave up. But that's just the way some people are. One little thing will cause them to lose hope, to lose focus, and quit going forward and go back into the world. We need to understand that we cannot quit. Peter didn't quit. Yes, I just stated that Peter denied Jesus Christ, but yet we have to understand that Peter still didn't quit. We find that his faith wavered and he sank in the sea. When Jesus told him, come and walk on the water, Peter came out and he walked on that water and he saw the waves around him and how rough they were, and he lost focus and he began to sink. But you know what? Peter still didn't give up. Jesus said to him at that moment, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When we drop down from verse 30 and look at verse 31. Peter walked on that water, but when he saw what was going on, he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. See, we have to know who can save us. Who can save us? You know, I believe that as I think about everybody here in the audience, we don't have any firemen out here, do we? If we do, raise your hand right now so I know who you are. So if there's a house burning down over here, and you are looking out there and you see Brother Thanopoulos coming by, you may want to holler at him, but you're thinking, Brother Thanopoulos, no, I don't want to use you. I want to use Brother Pack, because Brother Pack has told me this before. I don't know about you. But Brother Pack, if there's a ladder that's going up there, you don't want to call Brother Pack, because Brother Pack says he don't like heights. So you don't want to call on Brother Pat to save you. You want to hope that the firemen come with that ladder truck and that ladder is able to reach up there to save you. You want somebody to save you. You're hollering out, but you want the right person to save you. Peter didn't look back at those individuals that was in the boat to save him. He looked at Jesus and he said, Lord, save me. He didn't give up. He understood what he needed to do. Shamefully denied Jesus again in Matthew chapter 26. But we look at it, what the scripture says there, that Peter, as he shamefully denied Jesus Christ, Peter had to fix this. Peter had to get this right. So we find that as Peter denied the Lord, because the Lord told him what he would do, the Bible says, now Peter sitting outside in the courtyard, and the servant girl came up to him and said, You also were with Jesus the Galilean. There in Matthew chapter 26 in the verse is 69. You were also with him. Remember, Peter denied the Lord three times there in that section of scriptures. Three times he denied him. But we find on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up with the rest of the apostles and preached the word of God. Peter did not quit. Exposed for hypocrisy in Galatians chapter 2 and the verses 11. Peter was exposed. He said, man, if someone exposed me for you know, committing hypocrisy, I'm going to leave the church. I don't want anyone to know what I've done. But Peter did not quit. And we have to understand today that we cannot quit. We have to keep moving forward. We have to keep doing the things that are right. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Galatians chapter 2 and the verse 11. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. Fearing now, look what it says in verse 13. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by the hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile, and not like a Jew. How can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? Peter was withstood to the face. He pointed out his sin to him. Paul is telling us something very important right here. That even though someone opposed you, that they would stand you to the face because you're not doing what's right, it doesn't mean that you have to give up. What it means is this, that you need to change. You need to get your life right before God. And that's what Peter had to do. See, Peter wasn't perfect. Yes, he was an apostle of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, he was an elder in the Lord's church. But Peter was not perfect. He made mistakes. But he understood that he needed to correct those mistakes. He was beaten and jailed in the book of Acts chapter 4 and the verses 3. Beaten and jailed. Many of us, we cannot endure beaten. We're not going to endure beaten. I've said from time to time and times past, I would not have made a good slave. You're not going to beat me and get away with it. I'd be like Toby, I'm running. You're not going to have to just chop half my foot off. You got to chop my legs off. I wouldn't have made a good slave. And others people say, yeah, you would have been okay. You would have been okay. Only way I probably would have been okay is that I was a child of God and I understood what God's word says, that you need to be obedient unto your master. That's about the only way, I do believe. But we find here that Peter was beaten and jailed in Acts chapter 4 and the verse is 3. Acts chapter 4 and the verse is 3. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Going down to chapter 5 and the verse is 40. Acts chapter 5 and the verse is 40. And when they had called to the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. I want you to hear that one more time. Because again, as children, what happened to us? We got a beaten, and we got a beaten. Many times when we got those beatings, we would say, I'm not going to do that anymore because I don't want another beating. But here's the thing that we need to realize. Because there was this lady that told her children, if you obey the gospel, I am going to whip you. I am going to put something on you. The son obeyed the gospel. And I believe he told his sister, it's worth it. Go ahead and obey the gospel. It's worth it. That whipping is worth it. This beating that Peter took here, when they were beaten, it was worth it. Because here's their attitude after they were beat in verse 42. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. They did not cease that. But today, if someone said, if you say that you are a child of God, I am going to beat you, what would you do? What would you do? We should just throw our arms up in the air and say, beat me. I'm proud to be a child of God. I'm proud to teach and preach His word. No matter where I go, as Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 15, as so much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel at Rome also. No matter what happens to me, I am ready to preach the word of God. That's the attitude we should have. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 and 10, we need to realize that through it all, he still kept going. Through it all, what will cause us to keep moving forward? Knowing that Jesus is with us, that's what it should take. And he is with us as long as we're doing what's right. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 through 10. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. It says, resist him firm now in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter did not give up. Peter did not quit. Again, if we go through something like this, if Jesus came back right now and was standing in the middle of the Ohio and there you are on the bank fishing and he says, come to me, and you know that is him, how many of you would actually step out there? How many of you would actually step out? How many of us would actually step out? And we step out, and as that barge ran into that thing down there on the other end of the Ohio, how many of us would think about that barge and say, that barge is going to hit me if I step out there? Or that driftwood is going to hit me if I step out there? See, the thing that we need to realize that when we step out, we shouldn't worry about anything. We should just be focused on Jesus. But it's not going to happen. He's not going to come, and he's not going to be out there in the middle of Ohio. He's coming back in the clouds of glory. And many people are not going to be caught up with him because they give up. They give up when they're shamefully denied Jesus. They say, I've denied him, and there's no way he's going to take me back. All you have to do is repent. All you have to do is repent. Tell your family about Jesus. Quit denying your family the glory of coming to Christ. Your friends, I've told Anita, you know, in times past, way back in the day, I believe it was in 1987, and I was telling her how hard it was in order to talk to our friends about the gospel. I wasn't a member of the Lord's church right there, but I was willing to talk to people about God, talk to them about their soul salvation. Me, again, not being a Christian, not understanding about the one church. But when I became a member of the one church, it was easy then to talk to people about God's word. Yeah, it was hard sometimes with family because you want to make sure that your family is doing what's right. You want to make sure that your family stays faithful. You share the word of God with them, and your hope and your prayers that they will be obedient unto the gospel and do what is right. But there are those times where we fall into hypocrisy, where we don't want people to know that we have been with these people right here. We need to understand that God, again, He's a forgiving God, and that we need to repent of the things in which we have done wrong. Then we find Paul, the apostle that was born out of season. He went through some things in his life, and the reason that Paul went through these things in his life was because the way that he persecuted the church before he became a child of God. Now the shoe is on the other foot. Paul is going through some things in his life as we read through the scriptures, but as Paul went through these things, we find in Acts chapter 14 and the verses 19, he was stoned and left for dead. Stoned now and left for dead. How many of us, if we were stoned and we left for dead, how many of us will say, you know, once I'm well, I'm going to continue to live for God, or once we're well, we'll probably say, oh, I'm not going to go back down that road again. Paul, the Bible tells us here in Acts chapter 14 and the verse is 19, but Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Paul sounded like to me, Paul was playing possum. Supposing that he was dead, they just didn't know. God still had work for Paul to do. Amen. Paul did not quit. Paul continued on, beaten and jailed in Philippi. Paul did not quit. Sound like Peter to me, right? Stoned or beaten and jailed, but he didn't quit. Here again, Paul stoned or beaten and jailed in Philippi, but he did not quit. Persecuted repeatedly in Acts chapter 17 and the verses 5 through 13. Acts chapter 17, verses 5 through 13. He did not quit, though. But the Jews were jealous and taking him some wicked men of the rabble and formed a mob, set in the city in uproar and attacked the house of Jason, seeking to bring them out to the crowd. Verse 6 of Acts chapter 17. And when they could not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authority, shouting, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Turned the world upside down now. How? By preaching the truth concerning God's word. They turned the world upside down. We need some people to turn Louisville upside down. We need the truth to be proclaimed. In your communities, we need the truth to be proclaimed. In the California neighborhood, you hear about the gangs that go on around there. Here, over here in the Shawnee and the Chickasaw neighborhood, you don't hear so much about the gangs, but they are here. We need people to knock on doors, as we have been doing, to turn Louisville upside down so that people may realize that we are here to stay. We're here to proclaim God's word because we're looking for that crown that awaits us. We can't quit. Paul did not quit. We continue there with verse 6. And when they could not find him, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authority, shouted, "These men who you have turned the world up, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also, and Jason had received them, and they all, acting against the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." And the people and the city authorities were disturbed when they heard these things, and when they had taken money as security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Verse 10, the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they did what? They searched the scriptures. They searched the word with eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them, therefore, believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. But when the Jews of Thessalonica learned that the word of God was proclaimed by Paul at Berea also, they came there too, agitated and stirring up the crowds. They came there. Let's see what's going on. I told them before that you should not be doing those things, persecuted repeatedly. But yet, he did not quit. Endured the thorn in the flesh. What was his prayer? Three times. Lord, remove this thorn in the flesh, the Bible says, which was a messenger of Satan. But what was the reply from God? My grace is sufficient. He didn't quit. He did not quit. He never, ever gave up. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, in the verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is a crown for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul did not quit. Did not quit. We need to understand the importance of looking at the life of Jesus, looking at the life of Peter, looking at the life of Paul, and we need to understand today that we should not quit. Then we find John Mark there in Acts chapter 15 and the verses 38. Turn back to Pamphylia. Turn back now, going into a different direction. But the Bible tells us as he turned back, as we continue to look at some of the things that happened in his life, he did not quit. In Acts chapter 15 and the verse is 38. Acts chapter 15 and the verses 38. But Paul thought best not to take with him one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to work. We don't need you. You're not going to be useful in this. He turned back at one point. So, you know, that's what happens many times when someone say, I can't do it. I'm not going in that direction. I'm going to go back over here. A lot of times we say we don't need them. But we need to understand that when someone tells us that they don't need us, that we need to understand the importance of continuing to do the things that God wants us to do. Paul lost confidence in him. Paul did not want to have any stock in him any longer, did not want to take him, did not fully trust that he would do the things that were right. But John Mark did not quit. The Bible says he went with Barnabas in Acts chapter 15 and the verses 39. Not going with Paul, but went with Barnabas. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. He was still able to work for the Lord going with Barnabas. Although one did not want to take him, which was Paul, but yet Barnabas did take him. He gained respect to Paul later. He gained respect to Paul later, and that's what we need to do sometimes. We need to prove ourselves to people, although not necessarily to people, but prove ourselves to God. If we prove ourselves to God, man can't do anything but be approved by what we're doing. So we find in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse is 11. Luke alone is with me. He's the only one that's with me right now. He says that get Mark and bring him with you. For he is very useful to me for the ministry. Get him. I only have Luke right now, but bring Mark with you as well. Bring Mark with you as well. So that says a great deal about the life of John Mark. It says that he did not quit. I'm still willing to do what's right. I'm still willing to work with anybody, anywhere, doing the will of God. We find that a help to Peter in Babylon in 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verse is 13. 1 Peter chapter 5 and the verse is 13. These words are found. She who is a Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and also does Mark, my son. Peter is calling my son in the faith. He's rooting me. He's able to help me. Sending greetings unto you. So we need to understand the importance to do what's right. And then, of course, we have to look at it and examine that there were some that did quit. Demas quit. Paul said he's turned back out into for the love of this world. He's gone away from me. For the love of this world, Demas quit. Judas quit. Oh, Judas quit hard, didn't he? He betrayed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, came back and threw the 30 pieces of silver down, went out and hung himself. Judas quit. We cannot be a Judas. We cannot quit. We cannot go out and commit suicide because we have denied Christ or we have betrayed Christ. We have to ask for forgiveness for those things. And many of his disciples, once again, they quit. They turned back to follow him no more. We cannot be like that. The Lord's attitude toward quitters in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Yes, he has an attitude toward quitters. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one. Let it not be said about you that you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Put your hand on the plow and keep moving forward. Those of you that have been formers, those of you that are still forming, hoeing up the ground with a hoe, or plowing up the ground with a tiller, you know how to look forward and not backwards. You look backwards, and by the time you look forward again, you look back again, you see how crooked those rows are. We want those rows to be straight. We want us to keep moving forward, not to the left, not to the right, but keep moving forward, keep doing the things that God would have us to do. Never, ever give up. We need to try to improve our service to the Lord. Learning the scriptures, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Learning the scriptures. We need to learn what the word of God says. Rightly dividing the word. Being able to go out there into the world and do as Jesus said. Teach. Making disciples of all men. Continue to teach them. Baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. According to Matthew chapter 28 verse 19 through 20. Learning our worship. Learning our worship. Or leading in our worship. Going and said, hey, Brother Theopolis, put me down for song leader. Brother Theopolis, put me down for prayer. Brother Theopolis, put me down for this. Put me down for that. Brother Theopolis, I'm ready to preach the word of God. Brother Theopolis, say, go talk to the elders. We have to be willing to lead in the Lord's service. Have to be willing to lead in the Lord's service. In a good marriage. See, we need the wives to be good. We need the wives to speak the things that are right in the marriage for those that have husbands that are not members of the Lord's church, that they may say something to cause their husbands to want to be obedient, that they may be the person or the wife that they need to be in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Be the wife that you need to be in order that God may be glorified. He says here, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of the hair and the putting on of gold, jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, in verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. In a good marriage, you cannot give up. You have to hold on and continue to do the things that God wants you to do. Raising godly children. Raising godly children. In order to raise godly children, you have to be a godly father. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, according to Ephesians chapter 6 and the verses 4. Living faithful, a faithful Christian life. Again, as you read there in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. Let us do good as we have opportunity to do good unto all men, especially those that are in the household of faith, living a faithful Christian life. And then Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Through it all, keep going. Keep persevering. No matter what comes your way, keep moving forward. If you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to become one. We want you to come down the aisle. We want you to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Don't look back. Keep moving forward. Make that confession. Go down into the watery grave of baptism, coming out, walking the newness of life, ready to be an example to somebody somewhere in the things in which you do. Colossians chapter 3. And the verse is 17. Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of our Lord Jesus. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We want to encourage you to come back before it is too late. We want you to confess your faults. Whether you have to go to man and confess them, or whether you have to just confess them to God, do what you need to in order to be right with God. If you're here and you're subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.